Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and alongside me is Mike. Today is episode 364, and we are covering the biggest threads from yesterday, April 12, 2026.
Hey everyone, great to be here. We have a fantastic lineup today. We are going to look at a developer who is running multiple $10,000 a month businesses on a $20 tech stock. We also have some major drama in the AI world, with two huge threads about Anthropic silently changing their caching rules and blowing up developer quotas. Plus, we will talk about the seven countries that are now running on 100% renewable energy. And finally, we will take a nostalgic trip back to the desktop era to ask why modern web design has lost its mind.
Let us start with that indie hacker dream, a post by Steve Hanoff titled, I run multiple 10K MRR companies on a $20 a month tech stack, shot right to the top of Hacker News yesterday with over 800 points. Steve talks about getting rejected by venture capitalists who asked him why he even needed funding, which is a great problem to have. His philosophy is that keeping costs near zero gives you the exact same runway as raising $1 million with a massive burn rate.
Exactly. And his playbook is incredibly anti-enterprise, which the Hacker News crowd always loves. Instead of spinning up AWS, Kubernetes clusters, and NAT gateways that accidentally cost $300 before you even have a user, he just runs a $5 to $10 virtual private server from Linode or DigitalOcean, 1 gigabyte of RAM. That is his entire production environment.
Which sounds terrifying to a lot of modern web developers, but he makes it work by choosing his tools carefully. He writes his backends in Go. No Python, no Ruby, no massive frameworks that eat up half your memory just booting up. He compiles the whole app into a single binary, copies it to the server, and runs it. He even shared a tiny code snippet showing how you can handle tens of thousands of requests per second on what he calls a potato server.
The part that really caught my eye was how he handles AI. He built a tool that needs to summarize massive quarterly stock market reports. Instead of paying OpenAI hundreds of dollars and risking a bug in a loop that bankrupts him, he bought a used RTX 3090 graphics card off Facebook Marketplace for $900. He runs models locally using VLLM. He basically built his own unlimited API.
And for his database, he uses SQLite for everything. This sparked a massive debate in the comments. The traditional enterprise mindset is that SQLite is just a toy, and you need an external Postgres server. But Steve points out that if you just turn on write-ahead logging, or WAL mode, SQLite is orders of magnitude faster, because it communicates over memory instead of making a network hop.
The comments were so typical Hacker News. A user named Hacking on Empty chimed in saying, "Hey, I love SQLite, but you can just run Postgres on localhost over a Unix domain socket and avoid the network overhead while keeping all the enterprise features." But then Anders Murphy fired back with benchmarks showing that SQLite still smokes Postgres on a single machine, especially because of how it batches interactive transactions.
Right. The technical back and forth was fascinating. Postgres creates a separate record on disk for every updated row because of its concurrency model, whereas SQLite can just update in place. The consensus seemed to be that if you are building a monolithic app on a single server, SQLite with the right configuration is almost unbeatable. It is a great reminder that you do not need Google scale infrastructure if you do not have Google scale traffic.
Speaking of scale and costs, let us pivot to the AI world, because Anthropic had a very rough day on GitHub yesterday. Two separate issues regarding their Claude Code command line tool blew up on Hacker News. The first one was titled Pro Max 5x Quota Exhausted in 1.5 Hours, Despite Moderate Usage.
This is a huge deal for developers relying on Claude. A user named Seamaster11 reported that they were using the new 1 million token context window. They were doing some moderate coding work, and their entire daily quota vanished in 90 minutes. When they dug into their local logs, they found that cash red tokens were eating up the quota at an insane rate. Essentially, every time they made a request, the tool was sending the entire massive context window back to the server.
And even though Anthropic heavily markets their prompt caching feature as a way to save money in quota, the cache red tokens were seemingly counting at full rate against the user's rate limits. So if you have a massive context, say 900,000 tokens, you hit your limit in just a few API calls. Boris from the Claude Code team actually jumped into the Hacker News comments to do some damage control.
Yeah, Boris explained that the issue is often prompt cache misses. Claude Code uses a one-hour cache window, so if you walk away for lunch and come back to a massive 1 million token session, the cache has expired, and your first prompt is a complete cache miss that processes all million tokens from scratch. He mentioned they are looking into defaulting the context window back down to 400,000 to protect users from themselves.
But Sarah, that explanation leads perfectly into the second story, which is where the community really got out their pitchforks. Another user, LSDMTE, posted a data-driven analysis proving that Anthropic had actually silently downgraded the cache time to live from 1 hour to 5 minutes back on March 6th.
This was incredible detective work. The user pulled over 100,000 API calls from their local JSON logs across two different machines. They showed exactly when the server-side behavior changed. Before March 6th, the log showed 1 hour cache creations. After March 8th, it was almost entirely 5 minute cache creations. This silent change caused a massive 20 to 30% increase in costs and quota consumption for users.
The sentiment in the comments was pretty brutal. A user named Sonaris pointed out that there has been a massive shift in how engineers talk about Claude recently. People feel like they are getting a weaker product than what they initially paid for. Another user, and I, listed a bunch of recent grievances, from reduced reasoning effort to massive usage spikes, calling it a desperate attempt to cut costs.
It really highlights the compute crunch these AI companies are facing. As one commenter pointed out, there just is not enough cash in the world to instantly double silicon fabrication capacity. Anthropic is clearly struggling to meet demand, but silently tweaking cache parameters without notifying developers who are paying per token is a massive breach of trust. When your users have to parse their own JSON logs to figure out why their bills doubled, you have a serious communication problem.
Absolutely. It is the classic inshittification cycle that the tech community is so hyper aware of right now. Hopefully, Anthropic takes the feedback to heart and improves their transparency, because the models are still incredible, but the developer experience is taking a hit.
Let us shift gears to some good news for the planet. A report from The Independent highlighted that 7 countries now generate 100% of their electricity from renewable energy. The countries are Albania, Bhutan, Nepal, Paraguay, Iceland, Ethiopia, and the Democratic Republic of Congo.
It sounds like an amazing milestone, and it is, but the Hacker News comments quickly provided the geographic reality check. A user named PH Trivier pulled up the live data from electricity maps, and the secret to 100% renewable energy is basically this: have a lot of mountains, a massive river, and build a giant dam.
Exactly. Bhutan, Nepal, Paraguay, Ethiopia, and the DRC are all running on practically 100% hydroelectric power. Iceland is a mix of hydro and geothermal because, well, it is a volcanic island. So the lesson isn't exactly a replicable policy for flat, landlocked countries. You can't just legislate a mountain range into existence.
And there are real downsides to relying entirely on hydro. A commenter named Input Chi shared a fascinating detail about Albania. Because they rely so heavily on rivers, their entire power grid is highly susceptible to droughts. To mitigate this, Albania actually rents 2 massive floating oil-powered power plants that sit off the coast. They mostly sit idle, but they are an incredibly expensive backup system for when the water levels drop.
That sparked a really interesting debate about baseload power. Solar and wind are getting incredibly cheap, and the article mentions that solar is expected to dominate global electricity by 2050. But the sun goes down and the wind stops blowing. Hydro and geothermal are amazing because they provide consistent baseload, much like nuclear power. But if you don't have the geography for hydro and you aren't building nuclear, you have to solve the massive grid-scale battery storage problem.
It is a complex engineering challenge, but it is still great to see countries maximizing their natural renewable resources.
For our final story today, we are taking a trip down memory lane. A 2023 essay by John Lober titled "Bring Back Idiomatic Design" resurfaced on Hacker News, and it struck a major chord. John argues that we have lost something incredibly valuable from the desktop software era of Windows 95 and Windows XP, and that is consistency in design.
I loved this piece. John points out that in the desktop era, whether you were using Microsoft Word or Adobe Photoshop, the interface was homogeneous. The file menu was always in the top left. Save was always under file. The keyboard shortcuts were standardized. You could navigate everything with the Alt key and underlined letters. It was a design idiom that everyone understood.
But then we moved to the browser era, and everything became heterogeneous. He uses Figma and Linear as examples. They are two of the best designed web apps today, but they share 0 design idioms. They have different icons, different keyboard shortcuts, different ways to open menus. John argues that using web apps today is a constant exercise of hunting and pecking, asking yourself, is this a button? Will this open a new tab? Will the back button break the app?
He blames a few things for this. First, the transition to mobile touchscreens broke all the mouse and keyboard idioms, and we got stuck in this awkward middle ground with things like hamburger menus on desktop monitors. Second, the rise of React and modern front-end frameworks means nobody writes standard HTML anymore. Everyone is building bespoke components from scratch, so nothing looks or behaves the same way.
The Hacker News comments instantly zeroed in on the absolute most frustrating example of this today, chat applications. User UhOhItsMaCheck brought up the nightmare that is the Enter key. In some apps, Enter submits your message, and Shift Enter creates a new line. In others, it is the exact opposite.
Oh, the comments were so triggering. People were venting about Microsoft Teams and Slack. In Teams, Enter usually sends the message, but if you start a bulleted list, suddenly Enter creates a new line. Users were talking about the mild jolt of anxiety they get every time they press Enter, wondering if the app is going to send a half-finished thought to their entire department.
Someone even mentioned they compose their messages in Notepad first and then paste them into Teams just to be safe. When your users are opening a plain text editor from 1985 to avoid interacting with your multi-billion dollar chat application, you have fundamentally failed at user interface design.
It is so true. The desktop era had strict human interface guidelines published by Apple and Microsoft, and developers actually followed them. Today, every web developer wants their app to be a unique brand experience. But as users, we do not want a brand experience when we are just trying to insert a line break. We just want it to work the way everything else works.
It is a great reminder for any developers listening. Sometimes the best design is the boring, standard one that your users already know how to use.
Well said. And that wraps up today's episode of HN Pod. We covered a lot of ground today, from bootstrapping with SQLite to Anthropic's caching controversy, global renewable energy, and the lost art of the standard Enter key.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to dive deeper into any of these discussions, you can find all the original threads on Hacker News. Have a great day, and we will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories.